Well, brothers and sisters, it really is a joyful day for all of us in the life of our church. As the Lord willing, in a few hours' time, we will celebrate the baptism together of Sister Tabitha. Sister, we do give thanks for God's grace in your life. And we are rejoicing together. And in the happy providence of the Lord, as we're continuing to look at the Great Commission, we've reached today in verse 19 the Lord's words about baptism. The Lord calls us to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So this is an essential part of the mission to make disciples, that they must be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the important truth that I want us to consider this morning is that Christian baptism is Trinitarian baptism. The Lord commands us to baptize in the name of the Trinity, the name of the three who are the one living true God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And I want us to consider together what that means, why that's so important, and how it is so glorious, how it is an incredible thing for us to be baptized in the name of God. I really don't want to take anything for granted or assume that we all understand these glorious mysteries. And so I just want to simply try to explain first what baptism is and why it is such a blessing. And then second, what we mean by Trinity and how wonderful it is that our baptism is Trinitarian. And as I prayed, my hope this morning, brothers and sisters, is just by looking at these incredible mysteries, you'll have joy, that you'll want to rejoice as you think about these things. And so first, just very, very simply, the Lord commands us to baptize disciples. What does that mean? And what is he teaching us to do? Well, just very simply, the word baptize, it really means to wash. For example, in the Greek Old Testament scriptures, it was a word that was used for some of the ceremonies in the tabernacle, then later the temple. Sometimes for dipping the sacrifices into blood. Sometimes the way the priests would have to wash themselves in a special bowl before coming near to God. To baptize just simply means to wash. And of course, in the Christian sense, in a ritual way, in a spiritual way. But when we come to the New Testament, the wonderful thing that happens is John the Baptist is sent, and he broadens and he widens out this idea of washing and of baptism beyond what was there in the old. And now it's not just for the priests as they're coming near to God. Everyone who would leave their sins and come turn to God, everyone is invited to come and be baptized and wash clean as a sign that they want to be forgiven of their sins and they want to be clean and right with God. And the Gospels tell us that the Lord Jesus, following John, continued that practice. And anyone who wanted to be his disciple had to begin by being baptized. And as you heard in Acts 16, the apostles and the New Testament church follow the Lord faithfully and they continue the practice. You can think of Acts chapter 2, for example, and the thousands who believed the gospel that day. And the apostles baptized them. They gave them this ritual washing as they began to follow Christ. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch who hears the gospel and believes, it's marked by him being baptized. And then it was there in chapter 16 of Acts, Lydia and all her household. She is the head of her household. She comes to faith. And so her whole household comes under the lordship of Christ and she's baptized. And then, of course, there's that amazing story of the Philippian jailer who repents and believes. And again, he and his whole household baptized and receive this washing as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is it, just very simply in a nutshell. Baptism's this sacred ritual in which a new disciple is washed with water. Symbolically, it's marking the beginning of new life in Christ. Entrance into the church. That's when you like if it becomes official. It's the sign that marked becoming part of the new covenant people of God, of Christ. Now, I've said washing, but I don't think that does it justice. What a washing this is a picture of, a sign of. Just think about this washing, what this represents, of what Christ does for us in salvation. He washes away all our sin, all the stain of it, the filth of it in God's eyes is washed clean by Christ. In being outpoured, the water is also a sign of the gift of the Holy Spirit that God now pours out upon us, not just to a few, but to all of us, his life-giving Spirit, who unites us to Christ in heaven. And so the power of Christ flows into our lives and begins to change us, transform us into his image. And there's a power now working in us to sustain us, to transform us. What a washing God gives us in salvation, that baptism is the outward sign of, that your old life is washed away with all its sin and failure. And what a lasting mark, God's stamp and seal, that this mark of baptism now says you're part of his family. You're stamped with his love and approval, that you are now Christ's and under his care as a king and as a shepherd. Now, it's not, of course, that the water is magical or it just happens all by itself. The power is in God's word and his promise as we hear it and believe it, and his word as we obey it. And we trust, of course, that the Holy Spirit is at work through baptism and working in our hearts. And so I say it's a ritual washing. But brothers and sisters, do you see what a washing this is? What a wonderful gift baptism is. A sign of all that Christ is for us. What an incredible privilege to be given this sign, to be baptized. Perhaps I would trust most of us here are probably certainly baptized. Maybe we were baptized as infants, but what a gift. What a sign has been put upon you of the washing that Jesus Christ gives. Now to try and grasp that, let me try and picture it this way with something just out of the news of this past week. I'm sure we're all glad that the hostages who were being held in Gaza have been released. Thanks be to God, and we should all pray for peace. But in the information that's been coming out, for about 2 years, these hostages were kept usually underground, in the dark, in tunnels, and in cells. They were often starved, beaten, abused, very little water, even to drink. And the reports seem to say that maybe once, maybe twice, they were allowed to take a brief shower. And so all of it was such dehumanizing and wicked treatment. But when I was reading about their release, along with the obvious medical checkups, do you know one of the first things that they did for them, incurring for them, because it's so therapeutic and good for them? They wash them. Now, can you imagine? Can we imagine? I don't think we can. Can we imagine how they must have felt after this incredible ordeal and this 2 years, that first washing? Washing away not just all the dirt, but as a sign that at last they were free. And now there's healing to begin. They're going to be back to their families. What an incredible moment it must have been, that first shower or bath, whichever one it was. And now, you know, that water to them, it would mean so much more than just good hygiene. It would be a sign of their rescue, brought out of darkness, a washing away of all the evil they've endured, beginning of new freedom. See, a washing that's so much more than just a washing. And that's what baptism's like. And not to downplay their suffering at all, but Christian baptism represents an even greater washing. The washing away of our slavery, our bondage to the devil and to sin. The washing away of all the guilt and shame, all that dirt of our lives without Christ. It's a washing, but so much more than a washing. To be washed clean by Christ, to belong to Christ. Now, if anyone here today is here and you're not yet a Christian, like the rest of us, I'm sure you must have regrets about your life and your past. Maybe ashamed of things that you might have done. Maybe haunted a little bit by who you've been. And perhaps you wonder, can I ever have a fresh start? Can I leave that behind? Well, baptism is God's wonderful answer to you, his wonderful word to you. Jesus Christ can wash you clean, give you a new beginning. So what a wonderful gift of baptism. But then also, I hope simply, secondly, that we're commanded to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In this work of salvation and this washing Christ gives us, the glory of God as Trinity is revealed to us. God, through Jesus, has now openly revealed to us who he is. And that he is Trinity. He is Father, Son, and Spirit. Three persons who are one eternal God. See, up to the coming of the Lord Jesus himself, God had not clearly revealed himself as triune. Now, there's certainly mentions of it, hints and glimpses of it in the times before Christ. And it's there in the Old Testament. And then with hindsight, in the light of Christ, we can go back to the past and the scriptures and see the Trinity there. But until Christ came, it was not yet clear. But with the coming of Jesus, it's the light of God as blazes out more brightly than ever before. And we're given the full picture of who God is. Think, for example, of the Lord's own baptism. As the Lord Jesus goes into the waters, taking on the role of being our Savior, he hears the voice from heaven, the miracle, God the Father speaks. And then a dove, the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, comes down and rests upon him, empowering him. And so right there at his baptism, you see the three revealing themselves. The Son come to suffer for us, the Father sending him, the Holy Spirit empowering him. And then that carries on all through his ministry. He always speaks about the Father sending him and the power of the Spirit that's at work. And we see it's the Holy Trinity together as one who are saving us, united as one in this saving action and work to rescue and redeem us. See, it's part of the glory of the saving work of God that it's only when Christ comes that the fullness of the Trinity is revealed to us. If you like, a little bit before then, it's a bit like, you know, early in the morning, you've got your curtains shut, and there might be a few beams of light that are coming through. And it was a little bit like that in the Old Testament. Some of the light of who God was, it was coming through, but just a little. But as Jesus comes and so amazingly saves us, it's like you pull the curtains wide open, and the full beam of all the sun comes shining in and illuminates everything. And we see who God is. We know the Father, his overflowing love and kindness. The Son, his willingness to sacrifice himself. And the Spirit, ever present with us, filling us with knowledge of the truth and knowledge of love. The Father loves and saves us. The Son loves and saves us. The Spirit loves and saves us. The one God loves and saves us. And so, brothers and sisters, this is who God is. God is not some vague, undefined thing, some cosmic spirit, some substance, some energy. He's not God in some abstract sense. He is the living God, and he is personal. And he has always been and always will be these three. And there is no other God but the three who are one. Now, isn't it just the most glorious thing that this is who God is? And that you and I may know him? Greater than living a certain moral way of life, greater than being saved from sin, the greatest thing of all is that you can truly know eternal God, who he is. You can know him as Father, Son, and Spirit. Have that relationship with him. It's the most incredible thing. And so to be baptized in the name of the three is reminding us we're coming into a relationship with the three, with God. That our communion, our fellowship is with the three who are the one. And Christian baptism is performed in the name of the triune God. Now what does it mean if you do something in the name of somebody else? Well, it really means you're acting as their proxy. You're doing it in their place, so to speak. They have sent you, they've authorized you to do it as if they were doing it. So when a Christian is baptized in God's name, it is as if God himself is doing it. Do you see what I mean? It might be the minister who performs it, but because he's doing it in the name of God, the outward sign, God himself is, in a sense, the one doing the baptizing. That's how awesome it is when we say, in the name of. In baptism, God is doing something. God is blessing. God is acting. And I really want to drive this home for us as one key thing to take from this today. Because I think in much of the modern Western church, this is a truth we've neglected, we've misunderstood. And so often we put the emphasis on the person coming forward, on them confessing their faith, or somebody being offered up and brought forward to baptism, and on what we might do. But that's really the wrong way around. Baptism is first and foremost God saying something, God doing something, God bestowing his sign on his people. And that goes right to the heart of our salvation, that we're saved by grace, not by our doing, but by God's free gift and what he does for us. Now I know, and probably amongst us, there's differences of opinion about when it comes to baptism or the mode of baptism and so on. But I would hope that all Christians understood this, that in baptism, first and foremost, God is the one acting. God is speaking. It's not first and foremost about us, but about him. His gift of grace that he bestows on us in Christ. And so indeed I would argue how appropriate it is that even our children and infants of believers are come forward, that they receive his promise and his blessing. So to obey the Great Commission, to make disciples. Well, what must we do as we leave here this morning, and what do we take from the Lord's words? Well, first, let me ask this. Christian, have you been baptized? Maybe you're a Christian and grew up with a different tradition, or maybe grew up with no faith at all, and maybe starting to realize how important baptism is. We live in kind of a anti-sacramental time. But here it is, commanded by Christ, an important part, a gift that he gives for creating and building his church. This sign of washing that marks you out as him. Well, perhaps for some reason, maybe you haven't been baptized as a Christian, then what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Rise up and be baptized. Isn't it striking in the book of Acts, as we heard in chapter 16, that this happened so quickly when people believed and then were ready and responded? and either and then baptized and receive this blessing from God. And so, Christian, if that's you, don't miss out on this gift God has for you, the sign of the love of the triune God. And so that would be the first thing. Christian, be baptized. But then the second thing I would say to all of us as a church is, do you value baptism? Do you cherish it as the gift that it is? This is one of only two sacraments that God has given to us. This is his means. This is what we must do. We must baptize people when they become Christians. Again, think about it. In a lot of the church today, there's a neglect, and you might, at the end of a service or a sermon, people are invited forward, come give your life to Christ, come meet a counselor, come say a prayer, and that's all great. But what's missing about that? What's missing? What would Christ have told us to do? Baptize people. Baptize them. And similarly, sometimes people come forward for baptism, or they bring a child forward for baptism, but don't understand what it means. Don't understand the grace of God. That no ritual by itself is anything without the grace of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. And don't understand that this washing that only Jesus Christ gives. Some people think of it just as like a nice child dedication or tradition or a nice experience to feel good. I've seen some misguided things being said before baptisms, and not here, but let's make sure we really understand the glory of this sign, what it's a sign of salvation in Christ, and value it, practice it, thank God for it. But then finally, brothers and sisters, I want to urge you to rejoice in the glory of the Trinity. That it is in his name that the living God is so much greater than we ever could have conceived, than anyone could have ever imagined. That he is these three eternal loving persons, perfect and glorious, almighty, who are one. And this is our great privilege, to know him. And this triune God who saves us. And so the greatest application from today is worship him. Worship him and rejoice in him, in the glory of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, for to make disciples, let's baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Spirit.